to the Word of God this morning. Praise the Lord. Miss Rosa. Oh.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Get into the Word of God this morning. Book of Joshua, chapter 1. As you're preparing your hearts in moving there in the Scriptures, just want to kind of give you a background in regards to this. God is challenging His people to move forward. And he has declared unto them that they move forward. And He has used Moses to guide and direct them over that season. And now they're coming to a point in their life of change, a point of transition. And God has just begin to let them know that He is getting ready to do something. But what He is getting ready to do, as they're adjusting, bring the volume down a little bit. Okay, good. Now we can work. Can you hear me now? Okay, praise God. Okay, so they're well adjusting that. But God is speaking in regards to Joshua. And something has happened in their life. All of a sudden, Moses is God is beginning ready to do something. He had took Moses up into the mountain. And Joshua was down in the mountain with the people of Israel. And they was waiting for Moses to return because he had been to the mountain many times. And when he went to the mountain this particular time, he didn't come back. And there was use of him going and being away for a long period of time because when he received the commandments, he was in the presence of the Lord 40 days. Say 40 days. And in those 40 days, in the presence of God, God sustained him. I said God sustained him. And in that sustaining, He kept him in that mountain, and when he came down from that mountain, the glory of the Lord was upon him in such a way that the people could not even look at him because of the glory. And so what he had to do, because he had been in the presence of a holy God and in the righteousness and the holiness of God, and the scripture is very clear, it says no man can stand in the presence of God because your sin, your condition, your flesh, the glory of God will consume you. But God protected Moses because he was able to be in the face, in the presence of God and not die. Because God told him, he said, no man can see me and live. I said, no man could see him and live. Meant that in our flesh, to be in the presence of God, his glory will consume you. But yet God was able to protect Moses. Now, during this time while they was waiting on him because they knew that he had been away, this time we find that the scripture declared that when in verse 1 is that Moses come, doesn't come. And so God all of a sudden speaks to Joshua. So God spoke. And the thing is, God had not spoken to Joshua. Do you know that? Up to this point, God did not speak to Joshua. He spoke to Moses. Say Moses. So if he spoke to Moses and he didn't speak to Joshua, but all of a sudden, say all of a sudden, he spoke to Joshua. Now, what are you doing when all of a sudden you never heard the voice of God, but you know he's real, you know he's alive, but all of a sudden he speaks to you? What do you do? How do you respond to that? Huh? How do you respond? Huh? I believe you respond like you would, shocked and afraid, because God is holy. His mountain is holy. And the reason the mountain would shake with his presence. But not even animals could come to that mountain. God would kill him. But all of a sudden, God is speaking to you. What do you do with that kind of situation? Talk to me now. Because today, a lot of times, we want to hear from God, and we clearly want to hear, but when God really speaks to you, how do you respond? You still with me, y'all? You still with me? Amen. Okay, so all of a sudden God speaks to him. Read on verse 5. Listen to what God says. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Huh? God is saying, there's not going to be a man that can stand face to face to you as long as you live. Now, if God said that, do you think any man will be able to stand in front of you? Talk to me now. I said, talk to me. I said, talk to me. I don't hear you. I hear silence, but I don't hear you. I said, do you think any man will be able to stand in front of you if God said, no man will? No. All right, now you're coming around. Now, don't scare me if you talk to me now. You know, your pastor wants to talk to you. I mean, we talk, you know. And talking is there as two-way conversation. Hallelujah. So respond to me, because I'm going to have to come up and get up in your face if you don't talk to me. So here he's telling him, he said, listen, all of a sudden God is saying, no man's going to be able to stand with you. No man's going to be able to stand and face to face and confront you, in other words. God said, even think about trying to confront you, I'm going to wipe him out. I'm going to deal with him. And he understood that, right? Because he saw what God did to people that stood up against Moses. 250, say 250. 250 men stood up against Moses. God opened up the ground and swallowed them. So when God told Joshua, I think his chest went out a little bit. Yeah, I'm the man of the hour. Right. What you say? You gonna stab me? You gonna stab me? What? You looking at me? You looking at me? You put your eyeball on me? Well, it changes you when you know God behind you. Now, you know power corrupts folks. The moment folks get power, all of a sudden they change. Hello. You change too. No, you won't change. God turned out to make you a millionaire or make you a president of a company, all of a sudden, we won't be able to talk to you. You know, you drive up in your limousine just to show off, you know. Don't worry about it, I got this. I buy you one bigger, you know. So here is God is speaking to him, and he's declaring to him and say, so listen to him. He says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you. God said he ain't gonna leave you. Nor forsake you. That means to just abandon you. But be strong. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people, you shall divide an inheritance the land, which I swear to their fathers to give them. only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, but that you may prosper in whatsoever or wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's what we were doing here this morning. We were showing the people that are receiving the word of God. And God is saying, don't let that depart out of your mouth. Give it in your heart. Know how what the word of God says, because we're living in deceiving times. People are quick to deceive you, and they're quick to turn around and twist scriptures. And if you got it in your heart, they can't deceive you. For many shall be given up to strong delusions today because they don't have any knowledge of the word. And so we have to give into the word. That's what pastors have been teaching year after year, day after day. Give into the word. Study the word for yourself, because that's the only thing that can sustain you in these times that we're living in right now. It's only the word of God, because the spirit of God moves with the word of God. They work in unison together. You want power in your life, you're going to need the word of God and the spirit of God, because they work together. Because the law will kill us. You can know the scriptures, but if you ain't got no spirit, you ain't going nowhere. You just spouting out words. None but head knowledge. But no ability, no power. You need the spirit of God to make that thing come alive. Woo, glory to God. I don't want to have me preaching up in here in a minute. Yeah. So here we find that he's declaring unto them concerning let this law don't depart. But you shall meditate day and night. That means the word of God is going, churning through your head, churning through your heart, churning through your spirit, constantly chewing on it, constantly thinking about it, constantly meditating on the word. Day and night, all day. Just let the word just stir in you. You get up in the morning, you get that word into you, and all day long that word is stirring in you throughout the night. When you lay on that word, you use the word before you go to bed, it's going to stir all day and the night. You won't have so many nightmares then. Moving right along. Okay. For then I will make you prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want some of that. I want some of that. And verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Lord, for the Lord thy God, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord says today to you, I am with you. I am with you. The great I am, the one who spoke this world into existence, is with you. Amen. There's no greater power, there's no greater authority than the great I am. And the great I am has declared unto you in this day, June the 25th, 2017, God is declaring unto you, I am with you. I'm with you. And with God on your side, who can defeat you?
That's right. Amen.
No one can defeat you. The only thing that can defeat you is you. You. Now I asked some individuals in medical field, because, you know, sometimes we may go to the doctor tell us something. And I asked this question because I want to find out, you guys, why do people don't respond? Why do people don't believe and take the doctor's advice? Now I know there may be some crazy doctors out there, maybe some stuff wrong, but when there's a good doctor, when you got a good doctor who's really concerned about you and really trying to give you advice, why is it that people don't take the advice of the doctor? I got three things that they responded. Three things they said. First thing, they said that people do believe what the doctor says, but they don't believe it is as bad as he said it is. They believe what they say, but they just don't believe it is as bad as the doctor say it is. Now, I know that's none of y'all, right? Number two, they feel they can heal themselves without using the doctor's advice. Right? Third. And that's just not talking about medical doctors. We're talking about, you know, physicians, chiropractic, people that are trying to help folks. Even when you're trying to help folks, sometimes people act like that. See, you're trying to help them, but yet they don't seem to receive their advice. Are you still with me? Number three is that they think they know more than the doctors. You know, and it's amazing because we have people here that do, you know, and Maria, it's amazing. Have you ever had anybody that think they know more about how to just get their body lined up than you, and you're trying to straighten them out? They're like, no, I think if you go this way, you're like, wait a minute, I'm the doctor here. No, if you just twist my leg this way, it'll snap back in place. How does that make you feel when you went to school, you studied, you've done all this stuff to try to help folks, and you're trying to help them, and they think they know more than you? Hello? You still with me? So getting back to this is what happens when God is speaking to Joshua. Sometimes, you know, you can go through that cycle of thinking, well, you know, Moses knew more than me. I can't measure up to what he did. Huh? So first we want to deal with the people of God. God made a covenant with his people. God is a covenant keeping God. See, God is a covenant keeping God. He keeps his covenant. God has never, never, ever went back on not one of his promises. When God makes a promise, you can bet your life that he's going to fulfill it. And like I was saying, some people really don't believe, you know, God will give them a promise, and they don't even believe that God's going to fulfill his promise. I know that's not y'all. Y'all believe in God for all the promises. God's giving you all the promises. See, but it's not that. See, we need God by not seeing. You must first see. Without a vision, you perish. Without you really seeing that God can do it for you, you won't believe it. You got to have the spiritual eyes to see what your natural eyes don't see. Because if you go by your natural eyes, you won't see it happening. Oh, shout me down now. Then you got to prepare. Say prepare. You got to prepare yourself to receive it. So when you see it, you got to prepare yourself to be open enough to receive it. Thirdly, you got to respond. You got to respond. God told him, say, listen, no man's going to be able to stand in front, but you got to understand. So he had to see that God was placing him in a position, or placing him in a situation that God himself can help you in. There is nothing that God will not be able to take you through. Did I say over? You should always say under. How about around? What did I say? I said what? Through doesn't mean over. Through doesn't mean under. Through doesn't mean around. There is something that God's going to take you through that is unavoidable. Oh, shout with me, y'all. There's something that God has got to take you through. In order to take you through, because the blessing is on the other side. You won't get the blessing if you don't go through it. That's what Peter told. He said, brother, don't be distressed when fiery trials come, when stuff comes against you, because God is working. He's turning this
Lord, this ugly thing into something beautiful. He's turning it into a vessel of honor. Somebody may look at you and look at how messed up your life is, but you know, they don't know God is working on you. Pretty soon you're going to be a diamond, honey. You're going to be a pearl that God's been working on. Because God sees the diamond inside the coal. That's what he was looking at when he saw Joshua. He saw that developing. And see, next thing you got to understand, that when you respond, God is pushing you to be a conqueror. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. Now you see how they receive it? Yeah, mm-hmm, sure, yeah, 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 mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know why? Because you didn't tell them confident enough. Look at them and really tell them, you are an overcomer. I mean, convince them. You really are an overcomer. See, you got to understand. See, when God is telling you that this is what you're going to become, see, you got to see it, you got to prepare for it, you got to respond to it, and then you got to be the conqueror. Yeah. See, it just don't happen. You can't wish it. God says, I'm going to bring you through because I'm making more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthened me. And last, look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, don't you quit. Oh, hallelujah. That's the killer right there. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Turn around to your neighbor and say, don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. See, why? Because fear will make you quit. See, when you're afraid of something, you back up. Huh? Fear causes you to back up. And here's Joshua. All of a sudden, God speaks to him. Joshua, God goes, whoa, who is that? Who is that? Joshua, what? It's me, God. Moses, he waits for Moses to come back. When he comes back from the mountain, you can talk to him. Not me, Lord. And God says, no, I'm talking to you. See, and so that's what they say. Don't quit. See, the writer Harold Bannerman said this. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man or a woman that's totally committed to God. They've yet to see it. Because let me tell you something. Bannerman says, when you're totally committed to God, there's no limitation on you. I said, there's no limitation on you. You think you've done something, pull the limitation off. When you totally commit to God, you have no idea what God wants to do with you. I'm telling you, sister, brother, no way, no, not even an inkling of a thought that this young drug addict in the city of Chicago, straight out. Life jacked up, messed up, would ever think that he would be sitting in Jersey years from now preaching to a multicultural, diverse congregation such as you. Hallelujah. No way! Never crossed my mind, never even thought about it, Ed. None of y'all wasn't even in my mind. You know what's on my mind? Get me high. Get me next fix so I don't get sick. People running from me. When they see me, they run because they know I was up to no good. Hello. Ah, you wouldn't have helped me then, brother. You helped me then, you'd be like, checking your stuff out. Wait a minute, brother. You don't let me come to your house. You're like, oh man, check the fridge, check the, go to the bedroom, check. Now let that brother go to the bathroom. The medicine cabinet is gone. I mean, that's all of it. You know, I mean, the stuff is gone. And here I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lives are being changed. Huh? So. And then God starts going to save me, and he's going to call me. I'm like, oh, no. Mommy. You know me, huh? You know what I'm doing. You know the stuff. See, you start evaluating yourself when God starts dealing with you. You start measuring yourself up. Oh, no, not me. Oh, you don't know who you are. Lord, you sure? I mean, you don't better check the Lord. Are you sure? You check your pulse, Lord. Because I don't know about whether or not you're calling me. Huh? So this is what he said. The world is yet to see that. Because why? The world is waiting in the sons and the daughters of God to rise up to their destiny and to their purpose and plan. They're waiting in us to take our stand and move into the things of God. Secondly, a promise of God. God has a promise. When God gives a promise, he will fulfill it. So we are to be led by our promises. You know what kept me going? All these years of ministry, you know what kept me and this woman going? It's the promise of God. It's the promise that keeps you going. It's not what's happening, because what's happening doesn't even look like or measure up to the promise. So don't measure what you're going through to the promise. Because he'll go through it. Say, go through it. I tell you. And just because you go through something, guess what? I want to encourage you. You're going to go through some more. Ain't that encouraging? And you're going to go through some more. And after you go through that, you're going to go through some more. You're going to keep going through till you get to your purpose. Woo! Hallelujah. See? Because God has to lead you into your purpose. And then when you're in your purpose, guess what? You're going to keep going through. It don't stop. Hallelujah. Just like you think it's going to be all fulfilled, when you get married, and you still got to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Only you just expand. You have children now. Before you were single, you only had yourself. Now you got a wife, you got kids, you got a dog, you got a cat, you got a house, you got a mortgage. And you thought you was living it, and you thought you were going through children when you were single. You ain't saw nothing yet. Hallelujah. But guess what? It's all fair. It's all good. It's all right. Why? Because those experiences, you wouldn't exchange it for nothing. I didn't change it. Exchange it for nothing. Why? Because it made me where I am today. See, I would not be the man that I am today if I had not went through it. Every sickness, every attack the enemy put against me only made me better. It only made me better. Why? Because I refused to quit. I refuse to quit, to give up. There are people that be sitting beside you right now can quit tomorrow. Will you? I said, will you? See, you got to be committed to the Lord no matter what. Hey, I'm telling you, this woman, I've been with over 40 years. But I tell you what, if I left the Lord and started acting crazy, she's like, see you. I love you, but see you. I am not going to leave the Lord for you. Guess what? You know why? Because when she stands before the Lord, she can't say, well, my husband, God said, no, you. We can't blame nobody for not serving God. See? Your husband and wife does not hold you to your commitment to God. Because if you're serving God for them, you're serving the wrong purpose. And that is not what God intends. Every man, every woman, every boy, every child going to have to stand before God for themselves. And so you've got to understand. So God has a promise. See, first, to be a person of victory. Say a person of victory. You got to first commit yourself to it. Commit yourself not to quit. Commit yourself. Don't give up. Don't quit. Know that God's going to fulfill his promise he gave you. If God's given you a promise, he's going to fulfill it. So don't you quit on God. Hallelujah. People will quit on you. Hello. Folks will betray you. People will lie on you. People will do all kinds of stuff to you. But there's no reason for you to give up on God. Hallelujah. Give everything you got to it. Give it all up to God. See? You know when you quit? It's only one time when you quit. You know when you quit, Renee? When you cross the finish line. Yes, yes, you don't quit until you've done like Paul. I have kept my faith. I've done it. I'm going to get my reward. That's when you quit. See, you quit when the race is over. Time to put in, you missed it. Enjoy it. The trip. I said, enjoy the trip. Look at your neighbor and say, enjoy the journey. Because you don't understand. See, that's what God is letting you, Joshua, know. Listen, you're not Moses. I'm not going to treat you like Moses. I'm going to treat you like Joshua. Because I know who you are. See, God knows who you are. He does not treat you like somebody you should be like, could be like, shoulda, coulda, woulda. He treats you about who you are. God knows who you are more than you know who you are. So that's how God treats you according to who you are. Amen? Let's wrap it up. Because God has a purpose for your life. See? And the ultimate thing that God wanted to do with Joshua was to stretch him to grow. God stretches you to cause you to grow. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. So it's the presence of God, it's the power of God, it's the promises of God. Because God is concerned about you as his people. He don't want you to faint. He wants you to keep moving forward. Whatever the transition, whatever the things that life come at you, God says, you're more than able. Who's your neighbor? Say, yeah, you're more than able. I say, you're more than able. See, you sound like you just barely made it. You all right. No, you're more than able. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. I said you're more than able. You're more than able. You're more than able. You are an overcomer. And God is giving you all power. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise God. Glory to God. I got a letter here. I'm going to read to you. Need some water. I'm drying up. What's going? Thank you, Dolly. Okay, praise God. For the Lord is with me. I like that. Praise God. I'm reading this letter in regards to this. As of June 25th today, they're members of West Hudson, and as well as the congregation of West Hudson Christian Center. Since January, I have been seeking the Lord concerning a new vision and a new direction, you know, concerning with West Hudson as God began to do some things in my life. And I specifically felt that God was redirecting my steps. And so I needed to take time to really seek the direction and find out where God was really leading me and in regards to our ministry here. And upon the direction of the Holy Spirit, I felt impressed to go away. So I wasn't here on Father's Day doing that because I took that whole weekend to go to a Christian retreat, which is called